Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Big Blue Report, brought to you by Jack Pocket. So we were talking about, I opened the show with this. I do not buy that the Giants could actually say, we're playing with the house's money. Because I've always said that you have to recalibrate your expectations as the season moves along. So before the season started, if somebody said to you, 9-7-1, you're in the playoffs, and then you get blown out by the Vikings, you'd sign up for it. You go, yeah, that's great. That would be house's money. But once you got into the playoffs and your expectations have changed and you played this very team and you lost on a really long field goal at the buzzer, then I'm sorry, it's not a house's money game. It will be a house's money game a week from now, because after the clock zeroes out and you lose the game, you're going to be really, really mad. You're not going to say, you know, what a great season. A week later, you'll say, you know what? All things considered, we're on the right path. Now, that's just Michael Kay saying it. Here's Daniel Jones about, is this a house money game?
We're definitely not satisfied just to have made the playoffs. You know, that's not how we see it as a group. We were confident in our team dating back to training camp and knew what we were able to accomplish. So, yeah, we're by no means satisfied just to be in the playoffs. We expect to play well and to win, and that's our expectation every week. That doesn't change us.
See, that's what I said earlier, that a veteran sports observer told me, don't say house is money. Players never think that way. The Giants are taking the field. Yeah. On Sunday, thinking that they're going to win.
Right,
they're preparing to win this game.
But,
and they will be devastated if they lose it.
But doesn't make it reality, Michael. Players look at things differently than fans do.
But you don't think Brian Daboll is going to be really upset if he loses the game?
Of course he is. Coaches and players are different. But from a fan standpoint, there are times, Michael, even as big a Giant fan as I am, that after a loss I sat down and go, I accept it. I'm disappointed, but you know what? They gave a great effort. I can't complain. And an example of that would have been, what year was it again?
Picture it.
Well, I guess it would have been
Sicily.
That.
Sicily. 1938.
That 93 season where they beat Minnesota, and then they played, it was the end of it. You know what it was? Whatever the year was, it was 93. The end of the season, they had a chance to win the division. They're playing the Cowboys at Giant Stadium. They beat the Cowboys, they win the division, they lose, they have to settle for the wild card. And they played a heck of a game. This is when Dallas was, this is 93 Dallas.
This is the real deal.
This is Michael Irvin, this is Troy Aikman, this is Emmitt Smith, this is Jimmy Johnson. Or probably was,
what I'm talking about.
Barry Switzer. And the Giants ended up losing the game in overtime. And I sat down and I said, hey, they gave a hell of an effort. They lost to a better team. I can't complain. And I might say the same thing against Minnesota, depending on how the game goes. Now, you lose the game 28-0 and Jones throws 4 interceptions, then they're in the game, then I'm going to be red hot. But if they go out there and play their tails off and just lose to a better team,
28-24.
Which technically, Minnesota's a better team. We love the matchup. Let's not get lost in this. We love the matchup, but the Vikings are home. They're one of the best close game teams in football. They won their division. Come on, Michael. Are you telling me that you lose that game, 28-24 or 27-24 on a last second field goal? Lose it exactly the way that you lost to the regular season. You're disappointed you didn't advance, but you're not going to be red hot. You're not going to be calling for heads. You're not going to come on the air the next day and rip into the team. You're going to go, what a great season. What a great effort. They just lost to a better team. And if that's the case, then that's kind of at least a degree of house money, isn't it?
Yeah, but Vegas doesn't think they're a better team. It's exactly even. They're a 3-point favorite at home. You get 3 points for the home field. So
they
should beat the Vikings.
No, but that's ridiculous
but
what you
just
said.
They have a good chance to beat the Vikings.
No, but you just said that, no, the Vegas is wrong. No, Vegas agrees with me that it, on a, they, they, they should lose on a last-second field goal. It's the three-point favorite because the game's in Minnesota. Now, if this game's at Giant Stadium, at MetLife Stadium, maybe it's a different story. But if they lose the way Vegas says it, then Vegas gets it right that they're equally matched teams. Minnesota gets an edge because they're home.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giants lose a close game.
I guess
isn't that a degree, from a fan standpoint, isn't that a degree of house money?
I think you can only look at it at house money if your mindset is at the beginning of the season. But you recalibrate once the season goes the way it went.
All right. So you're recalibrating. Forget about what Rex Ryan says, what Mike Tannenbaum says. You're right. There's a lot of people out there that it's a fait accompli they're winning this game, which Peter agrees. It's ridiculous to say that there's no way they're losing this game. So you're telling me, Michael, that if they go out there and they lose a close game to Minnesota, that you'd be red hot about it?
No, you'd be devastated.
Well, you're devastated.
Yeah,
devastated is strong.
No, you'd be okay. Let's go. Really disappointed.
No, because devastated implies you think this team should go on a Super Bowl run and it got cut short. When really you believe even the best expectation would be you win this week, you probably lose next.
See, that's
week.
Kind of part of it too. Like, what did this end? Like, if you're thinking we're going to beat Minnesota, we're going to beat San Francisco, we're going to go on a run, we're going to the Super Bowl, then yeah, you're going to be devastated. But does anybody believe, even the most diehard fan, that they are that, and they believe they're going to crush Minnesota, that this is going to go beyond wild card weekend?
I think if they were in the AFC, I'd say it wouldn't go beyond. But there's nobody that I look at in the NFC that is unbeatable by any of the teams in the NFC.
That's true, unbeatable. But you know what? This is the closest the Giants will be to a favorite, a 3-point dog against Minnesota. Every other matchup the rest of the way, they will be close to a touchdown dog.
I agree.
So,
and if they go to San Francisco next week?
San Francisco, it's going
to
be 8 or 9.
Yep. All right. Bernie in Virginia doesn't think the Giants have a chance. Bernie?
Hey, all right. In my opinion, the weakest unit on the Giants are the receivers. The second weakest unit on the Giants is the secondary.
Yep.
We're playing Minnesota. They have Jefferson, best in the league. They have Cook. They have Adam Thielen, who a couple years ago was also one of the best in the league. He's still pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota is going to put 8 guys in the box. They're going to take away Saquon and Daniel Jones' legs, and they're going to say, hey, James, Hodges, and Slayton, go ahead and try to beat us. I just don't think I'm a Giants fan. I don't think the Giants have a chance, which is okay. And I'm also saying Rex and Tannenbaum, there's a reason – Rex isn't on the sidelines anymore, and there's a reason Mike's, you know, calling in the radio shows. It's a hot take culture. I get it. I just don't see it.
Well,
it's a.
How is it any different than when they met in the regular season? Everything you're saying, and the Giants secondary is actually stronger because McKinney and Jackson will be playing. So I don't disagree with you that they could lose the game, but everything you say was in play, if not worse, in their regular season meeting, and the Giants almost won the game.
And as Peters pointed out, the entire season, Minnesota is a fraud, you know, 13-14. I agree with that. I think at home, playoffs, you got big-time players, you know, Jefferson, Thielen, Cook. I just don't think it's even going to be very close. And I think Vegas set the spread because of the regular season game, and I think they're trying to entice people to take the Giants. I'm sorry. I'm a Giants fan. I would love to call in Monday and say, hey, Rex, you know, you're my daddy, and you got it right, and I got it wrong. I just don't see it.
Well, Rex was interesting, Don. He said that if they played
20 times, they'd lose 16.
Tannenbaum said that.
No, it was Rex yesterday, I think. If they played 20 times, the Giants would win 16.
I thought Tannenbaum said 6 out of 10.
Okay.
But whatever.
Either way, it's the same point.
But they met Christmas Eve.
But I don't understand how you could say that so assuredly. It's, to me, wild.
He's either a Giant fan that's trying to protect himself from being disappointed, or he really wasn't a Giant fan.
The caller? The caller's just saying, Don, isn't there an argument to be made that when the Giants and Vikings played last time, the Giants played the best version of that game and they still came up short?
No, true.
And this time they lose by 17?
No, but that could happen. But when he's like, I don't see. Well, how do you not see when in week 16 they played and the Giants' secondary has gotten stronger and without Jackson, without McKinney, they lost by a field goal? So I'm arguing, not that he's wrong, Peter, but when he says, I can't see it. Well, you saw it 2 weeks ago. Like now, 3 weeks ago.
I don't think I'm going to touch this game, but if I did, I'd pick the Vikings. I think Peter said the same thing. You said you'd pick the Giants, right?
Yeah, again, I'm not sure I'm touching the game either because I want to just take a look at the slate, but I do feel good about their chances, but I could see it still end up being like a one-score game. Would I be shocked if it's 24-17 and the Vikings cover? But I just argue, you can't see it. You can't see a path to the Giants winning this game.
No,
that,
I can't.
That,
I can
me,
see a path.
That to
well,
me.
Me too.
That to me is as over the top as Tannenbaum and Rex guaranteeing a win.
I agree. Let's go to Evan in Sunnyside. Evan.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I was calling in before to speak a little bit on Daniel Jones, and I feel that we're undervaluing him a little bit.
No, you can do that. Yeah, sure.
But I just wanted to also say that I think, you know, with Daniel Jones and the word he used in saying that we're playing with house money, I think that was a bad decision. But I think from a fan perspective, as someone who's an Eagles fan but lives around a ton of Giants fans, I think everyone had the lowest expectations for this team, and going into the playoffs is such a win. I think they do take down the Vikings, and I think as a hot take, I think Seattle's going to beat the 49ers, which no one is really talking about. I think they're coming in a little bit too high, which is crazy. But my bad. To backtrack to Daniel Jones, I think we're undervaluing him a little bit in the sense that the pool of quarterbacks is so small, and it is impossible, near impossible, to get a quarterback to stick around for 4 to 5 years who's not going to lose you games. And Daniel Jones proved this year that he's not going to lose the Giants games. And if they build around him, that I think they have a potential quarterback for the next 2 to 3 years, and they don't have to go into this stupid reset of going back to the draft or hoping Aaron Rodgers is a free agent. Just double down on what you have, see it all the way through, and build around him. And I think next year they're going to be a much better team. And also, I know Peter mentioned before about how the quarterback came in through to Galladay immediately. Richie James is relevant because of Daniel Jones. Slayton is back because of Daniel Jones. I think Barkley had a great season because of Daniel Jones. So all I'm saying is I don't think he's a $40 million player. I think he'll end up getting $30 to $35 million. But I think we need to give him a little bit more credit.
I'm a little curious, though. Barkley had a great season because of him. Might it be the other way around? I mean, why would Barkley have a great season because of Daniel Jones? They're not playing the pass. They're playing the run.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that argument either.
I think Barkley was good. I think Jones was better than Barkley this year.
Well, Barkley had that stretch where he really, yeah.
Right, yeah. And I think Jones was a little bit more consistent. I think they both complemented each other well. But, and again, everybody thinks I'm disrespecting Barkley. I can find another Barkley, another running back. I can't find another quarterback.
For the record, they benefit each other because the read options benefited by the fact that both of them can run so effectively, mm-hmm. including Jones, because Jones is running. That's really the piece here, guys. I mean, Jones's running numbers were astounding this year. But, Don, I mean, first year back from a major surgery, I hear what you're saying about the quarterback being harder to find. You're right. First year back after major surgery, 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns. That's a hell of a year.
But I also have to know that he's going to do it for the length of the contract. You know, you start getting closer to 27.
If you don't want to give Daniel $40 million a year and you're going to franchise him, if I had to franchise one of those two players, it's harder to find a quarterback than a running back.
But the franchise tag on Daniel Jones, they're saying it's like $45 million.
It's not 45. It's 38? Like $32 million, something like that.
Yeah, it's like 31, 32.
Wait, it's the average of the top five, no?
Yeah. But the numbers that you get publicly, I don't know if you average like $54 million in for Rodgers. I think that the it's $32 million, the last I heard.
Someone tell us, please.
I'm going to look it up.
Because if it's the top five average, it would be close to 45.
Well, then I wouldn't, if it was 45, I wouldn't do it. And then the decision not to pick up the fifth-year option is criminally bad.
You're right. It's projected at 32, which is because they don't give these jobs a chance.
No, they don't. They
Which for 32, I think that is the move that makes sense. Get one more year.
See, that's why I think he's coming back, because if you read the tea leaves that you're going to have to give him $40 million a year, then you just franchise him, buy another year.
Just show me again. Show me again when we get you more weapons. I mean, when you hear the wide receiver from the Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins is available. Go out and get DeAndre Hopkins. There's a difference maker. That's the Big Blue Report brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $360 million. Mega Millions is an incredible $1.35 billion. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app. Get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service. Here are the six games this weekend. Seattle at the 49ers. 49ers favorite. Giants at Vikings. Vikings slight favorite. Cowboys at Buccaneers. Cowboys slight favorite. AFC. Dolphins at Bills. Prohibitive favorite Bills. Ravens at Bengals. Bengals big favorite. It looks like Lamar might not play. Neither might Hundley. Chargers at Jaguars. I'm not quite sure of the
Chargers by
Chargers
three.
Minus two. All right.
Minus two. So Chargers and Cowboys, the only road favorites.
Right. Okay. Of all of those, off the top of your head, what's the shocker? There's going to be a shocker out of the six games
Beckham.
That we'll talk about on the next show. What's the shocker? You know, our caller said Seattle over San Francisco. I don't see that one.
I don't see that.
Now, with Tampa Bay beating Dallas, would that be a shocker?
Yeah, yes, it would be to me.
How could it actually be a shocker, though, with Dallas's performance last week? I
have to
shocker's
think,
not the right word anymore.
Now, and Dak's an X factor in the postseason, and Brady certainly is an X factor the other way for the Buccaneers. But watching the Buccaneers all year, they're not winning a playoff game. Come on. The Cowboys had to have put the stinker up figuring, we're not going to win this division anyway. There's no way the Giants are beating the Eagles. They're mentally checked out. They're a better team than Tampa. That would be a shock to me if Tampa won that game. More so than any other.
Under a field goal is pretty nice.
So that would be a shock.
Mm. Who else are you going to say? I don't think the Seahawks are beating the 49ers.
And the Giants beating the Vikings is not a shock.
It's not a shock.
That's why I say
Chargers
it's not a house
beating,
of money.
Chargers beating the Jaguars isn't a shock.
At this point,
I guess the Ravens beating the Bengals is a shock.
That's number one.
Yeah.
That's the number one on the list at this point. If you're telling me Lamar and maybe no Huntley.
But it's not going to happen.
That would be the biggest.
And there's no way the Dolphins beat the Bills.
Listen,
I don't see it.
But I thought Michael was asking what's a more feasible. Like, you want to take shock. The biggest shock of all is the Dolphins beating the Bills.
No, I was saying the most feasible.
Right, but the most feasible to me, I would think, would be the Buccaneers beating the Cowboys, where I go, wow, I don't think any of the other ones are going to happen. The biggest shock, meaning like you would just be slack-jawed, there's no way Miami's beating Buffalo. How could they possibly do it with no Tua, no Bridgewater, it looks like? I mean, come on.
You got Skyler, though.
No, it's Skyler. It's Skyler Thompson.
There's a chance Bridgewater could play. Chance.
All right, so even if it's Bridgewater, going into Buffalo with all the emotions surrounding that team, the Bills on a mission. Miami's defense isn't that good.
I got to tell you.
Sklar Thompson came in, or whatever his name is.
Did he say Sklar?
He didn't know his name was Skylar?
But even if
I will not rip anybody anymore.
No, but I'm not ripping. I'm just curious. Like, how do you look at that and think it is anything but Skylar? What's a Sklar?
It's S-K-Y, right?
S-K-Y-L-A-R. Sure,
this was from the first time the Jets played.
I understand. No. But if you see Skylar, Anthony, what? Why
That's
would you say
concern.
Skylar?
It's not
I'm
about,
not asking him to know who he is.
Exactly. Look. In this case, it's not about hearing of him. It's about reading.
Let me put it this way. Of everybody who works on the station, I put Dave's football knowledge over everybody's, including Bart.
Okay.
All right.
But what about knowledge?
So let's not rip him.
But what about knowledge?
I said knowledge. Football knowledge.
No, I'm not just talking about general, because that's what we're questioning.
We're talking about
here.
Reading.
It's not football.
This is about reading. Well,
maybe he's not a great reader.
No,
but
you see Skylar on a page.
You remember?
Why would you then think it's Skylar?
See what you started, Anthony, by playing that? You see what you started?
I thought Stench, Bennett was Stench. So you're asking the wrong person.
That's a great point. Anthony did think Bennett was Stench.
Not very bright.
Yeah, but you started this bacchanal now by playing that drop for no reason. We had made a commitment not to talk about it.
No, I'm glad he played that. Sklar needed to be played.
When we come back, Dan Orlovsky will break it down for us. Got a lot of stuff to ask him. Stick around right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Dan Orlovsky Report brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Now, you're the dentist today. Are you managing your pain, Dan?
Oh, my gosh. I hate the dentist, and I'm not trying to be mean to dentists, but I'm not in a lot of pain right now. It wasn't a massively painful appointment, but I had to get 2 crowns put in. My teeth stink, but I don't know how people enjoy going to those.
So places. You're okay.
Wait, who do you know that enjoys going to that says, like, you know what I love?
His wife.
Dentist.
No. His wife does.
That's
my wife loves it. My wife's like, oh, I love going to the dentist and get a good teeth clean. I'm like, here's where I am. I don't need my teeth to feel great. I just don't want them to hurt. You know, like, I don't need to be, oh, my, it's not like going to get a massage. So, and there's a lot of people on social media that were like, oh, I love the dentist. So,
I only love the dentist if he gives me good drugs. Besides that, there's no reason.
Well, Dan's obviously an anti-dentite.
You're ready for that.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Before we get into football, there's one more important question I think Dan should be asked.
Okay.
Where do you think Rocky IV stands in the Rocky series?
Number one.
See? Told
the
you.
The best?
I told you.
Oh, Dan.
Michael thinks it's the worst.
It's the worst of the five.
What?
Yeah. It's so it's unrealistic. He solved the Cold War?
Oh, my God. Realism.
Yeah, that's what happens when you break down barriers and kind of move past... differences.
Thank
it's
you.
It's also got one of the greatest soundtracks of all time.
That's right. Thank you, Dan.
But how do you listen? I get that you like one, four, but it's not better than one. One's the king. You debate the other ones. You don't debate Rocky's one is the one.
It was nominated for best picture.
Yeah,
it's the best film. It's the best film. Right. But I think what Dan and I would argue is when Rocky IV comes on television, there's no better one to watch.
Correct. And for a person like I think Rocky IV has the most like transferable feelings about life for everybody. Like, hey, you're not good enough. You can't do it. This is all that stuff. I feel no matter what like field in life you are in, like that resonates to you.
And when Dan was a quarterback in the NFL, he used to train in the off season. He'd go to Moscow and he'd take an axe and just go at a tree. Yep. That's what he did.
Yeah. You know, you're taking.
Well, listen, I mean, growing up in Connecticut, there's moments when you're like, I'm in Russia.
That's right.
You know what? Your take on this, Dan, I hope the drugs have worn off. I really do. This is a painful take.
I'm with
take.
You, Dan. Good take.
All right. So, Dan, we were just talking about this. It's 6 games this weekend. Seahawks, 49ers, Giants, Vikings, Cowboys, Buccaneers, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens at Bengals, Chargers at Jaguars. What's the most likely big upset?
Most likely big upset would be Seattle over San Francisco. San Francisco's a bona fide Super Bowl contender, the most complete, probably the best team in the NFC with where they sit right now. They've won 10 games in a row. And Seattle's got a quarterback that people thought, backup for the rest of his career. But here's the thing that I think Seattle's got the ability to do it. One, the best way – there's two things to do against – San Francisco's defense. You got to get their defense running sideline to sideline. And I mean that when it comes to like play action. What makes them different is their linebackers do such a great job of getting such good depth in the pass game. You got to get them to go laterally before they can ever go vertically. And I think the play action concepts from Seattle can do that. Two, you have to have the ability to take shots downfield at them. Have to. And they, with Lockett and DK Metcalf, have that. So I'm not saying it's easy, but because of backups in both Baltimore and Miami, I say Seattle.
So that's interesting. How about the Giants and Vikings? Everybody seems to believe that the Giants not only have a chance, but many people flat out predicted them to win the game outright. Where do you stand on it?
Yeah, I expect the Giants to win as well. I've felt like Minnesota's a good team. I would say the way that the Giants win this game is if they go after Minnesota's nickel. He can't cover, not the guys. And it's shocking to say that the Giants have. If they take their slot receivers and those slot receivers can attack the nickel in coverage because they live in nickel as a defense, meaning a fifth defensive back on the field, if they attack that fifth defensive back, Chandon Sullivan, they got a huge chance to win that game.
How much can Daniel Jones's performance this weekend affect how you think about him?
A ton, you know, because this is the biggest stage he's been on and no one ever thought he would get there. And he's got a capable defense, solid offensive line and run game, and he's going against a team in the NFC that people think and believe is vulnerable. And so you sit there and go, all right, you had a regular, like everyone, we live in a world where like we want to tell everybody what guys can't do, right? So you were good enough in the regular season, finally. But you weren't great, but you were good enough. Can you do it in the postseason? And I think it's going to go a long way because I had to do this piece for ESPN.com, and I had to rank the quarterbacks in the playoffs 1 through 14 and kind of give what you like and don't like about them. And what I said about Daniel when it comes to don't like is his good enough? You know, is his good enough in the playoffs to go get a win or two? And that's the big question that hangs over his head right now.
So where was he on 1 to 14, if you ranked him?
Yeah, I think Daniel's right around like 9 or 10, I believe. Right around 9 or 10.
What I don't get, Dan, and maybe you can educate me on this. So everybody now, I mean, Tannenbaum today, their team's going to be crawling over themselves, bidding for Daniel Jones. I mean, he had a nice season, and I know he's a quarterback that's available. There aren't a lot of quarterbacks. Do you look at it the same way, that people are going to be crawling over themselves to get him?
Yeah, I don't prescribe to that thought by Mike T. As much as I love Mike T and as great as he is, I don't prescribe to that. I think if Daniel Jones became available this offseason, he would slot in behind Derek Carr, maybe even Jimmy Garoppolo, dependent upon the team. I think that, you know, Daniel Jones, Tannehill type player, where you sit there and go, because prove it to us we can win with them, and he's worth an extra.
No.
Hey, this guy is a non-negotiable.
Well, we're going to have to get Dan on
Better line. Yeah, let's get another line.
I love when you say a better line. It really just means calling him back. You hope that it's better.
Well, you hope that it's a better line that you have.
But a better connection.
Okay, let's go with better connection. What are you, a clown today or what? Or every day?
I don't remember.
You see
like,
this big old teacup that I have?
Throw it in my face.
Smash it in your face. And have all the glass shards going to your forehead when you talk like that.
You know what? I'm really upset that you said that.
Yeah, well, get over it.
My God.
You care about the English language, and I was just pointing out it's not going to be a better line. It's going to be a better connection.
Well, a line is a connection, okay?
Is it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Not really.
You're going to take 100 years of talk radio and throw your spit at it and say, that's not the right thing to say.
100 years of talk radio.
Yeah.
It hasn't been around for 100 years.
Really? Since 1923. Let's talk more to Dan. So, Dan, you're not of the of the belief system, like everybody else, it seems at ESPN, that Daniel Jones is going to get $150 million a year.
No, I think Daniel Jones is.
Well, line connection, we didn't get
him. No, we're going to have to call it a day.
Yeah, Anthony. Thanks for playing. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
He was great, though.
He was great. Very good. That's the Dan Orlovsky Report, albeit short, brought to you by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. For pain-free life, visit samwellpain.com.
I think a great man once said, how many chances you get?
No, a great man did say that, and in this case, you know. I wanted to ask him about Sklar Thompson, but we didn't have time.
Well, again, you're going to rip Roethlisberger?
Yes. I mean,
what happened the last time something like this happened?
Well, I don't think we're at that level.
This, you know what this is called?
What?
Inbounds. I'm standing clearly in bounds.
He's at the crest of center ice. I mean, he's in good shape.
Thank you.
You know, he's on the shield for the coin flip. Okay, he's not out of bounds. Right, there's not going to be any review. No booth review here.
No, I'm very very.
This
clear.
Is very much in bounds, and we're not challenging anything other than when you see Skyler in print. Why would Sklar pop into your
maybe,
head?
Maybe he didn't see it in print. Maybe he just said Sklar. Maybe he thought that was the name. I don't think he read it incorrectly.
I don't know why
you said pound for pound. He's the best broadcaster on the station.
I stick to that, but that means that you
so he can read.
That you're beyond reproach. I can't have a comment about you. I just think that
no more.
When Skyler and Sklar is up for grabs, you're going to lean Skyler. And then if you're corrected, it's Sklar, then you could be like, oh, really? I had no idea.
And do you remember when I brought up my friend Skyler, what you said about him?
I hated his name.
You ripped him.
Yeah.
What if I'd said his name was Sklar?
I would have liked it. Would have been interesting.
Hey, by the way, I want to give a shout out
to whom?
My buddy Skyler Aston.
What is a dumb name. This is a dumb name. Why? Let's go to Ray. Speaking of Ray in Brooklyn. Hello, Ray.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Please stay with me. I'm going to go rapid fire here.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make a case for Daniel Jones. I heard Peter make an asinine comment.
Oh, no.
That we're going to find out in one game.
Sounds like
next
Peter.
Week or this week. That what Daniel Jones is. That is so asinine because last year, Jalen Hurts threw four picks, no touchdowns against a declining Tampa Bay team in the first round. He wet the bed and embarrassed himself. Everybody wanted to throw him in the garbage for Gardner Minshew, and look at him this year. And so you can't do that to Daniel Jones.
But on the flip side of that coin, Kyler Murray laid an egg and has not been the same guy
and
since.
Also, Ray, let me talk for Peter for a second.
Thank you.
Daniel Jones' contract is up. He's got to show something in this game. Jalen Hurts was in his second year.
And okay, well, now you're talking, finances. We're just talking about the player. He was saying making a judgment on what kind of player he is. That is.
I hear you. What's your name again, sir? I'm sorry.
It's Ray. Damn it.
Sorry, Ray.
I'm not done. But go ahead.
No. We're gonna let you keep going, Ray. But okay. Also, let me ask you honestly. You're a Giants fan?
Absolutely.
Okay. On Sunday, I'm going to paint you two scenarios. Daniel Jones throws for 260, runs for two touchdowns, throws for two touchdowns, they win. Daniel Jones throws two picks, runs for nothing, they lose 27-3. Neither of those outcomes affects you in how you view Daniel Jones heading into next year?
Absolutely not. You can't,
Wait.
If you're in it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't start hearing. Wait a minute! I didn't hear $40 million getting thrown around until they smacked around Indianapolis. So one game against Indianapolis, everybody is going nuts. One playoff game that everybody in the world thinks they're going to win. Listen, I know you're not supposed to have a judge on one game, but there's not a lot of evidence here. It was one very good season, and a stinker of a postseason game, I'm sorry, is going to affect
their
will of action. Let me finish.
All right, go ahead, Ray. Your turn.
So, to be fair, I'm not one of those people. And so I'm already saying before the outcome of the game, I'm good with him. I'm not giving him 40. He ain't Patrick Mahomes, but the going rate is 30. He's going to get that. And secondly, how about the fact that everybody's bringing up the fact that it's all due to Brian Daboll. Listen, I like Brian Daboll, but this guy put Adoree Jackson, our best defender, on special teams, which probably cost us two of those games that we lost,
right.
or at least one. And then this guy was struggling with his identity when we were losing. He was choking as a head coach. First, he starts the season like, hey, I'm going to, we're going to always go for the win. Then he plays for a tie against the Redskins. Then he throws on third. Third and goal
for
the 10-yard line. He
throws
a
three-yard
out.
But Ray, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're going to have to table that, and we're not going to let you have the whole show.
It's Ray, damn it.
But
right, we haven't hired.
We're talking about Daboll has affected the quarterback. We're not. This is not a referendum on him as a
one
coach.
Year, let's
although
see.
You're very much out on the plank criticizing Daboll, and you're a Giant fan. Very odd. We're saying the effect that he has had on the quarterback, the effect that he has had on Josh Allen. You can't knock the fact that Brian Daboll is a quarterback whisperer.
And here's the thing. People get a little sensitive. They get a little too sensitive. He agrees with us. He wouldn't give him more than 30, so we're all on the same page. So what are you complaining about?
The only thing he seemed to fully disagree with is that he doesn't think you can make any judgment on a playoff game. I'm sorry. I'm just being realistic. I'm not saying you make the decision is solely based on the playoff game, but to act as if playoff performances from unproven playoff quarterbacks doesn't affect the way they're viewed. That's
and Kyler Murray was beyond the stats. He looked like he wasn't ready. If Jones does look like he's ready for the moment and wets the bed, you don't think that's going to affect how GM's looking?
Do you guys remember? And I'm sorry to bring him up because I know Giants fans get angry at me, and I'm not saying he's great. But do you guys remember in a losing effort how impacted Heinicke was by showing up against Tampa? You went, okay, this is a guy who can play in the NFL in a big spot.
The only thing Ray said that I really truly agreed with was that you were asinine.
I know that you didn't agree. You agree with that. I'm just saying it's a big deal. You want to see him perform well. If he's not, if he's not great, I'm not saying you move on from the guy, but you want to see him show something.
The Mets moved on from Carlos Correa. I've got some information that is not out there that you might be interested
not
to
out
hear.
There.
No, it's not
so
out
what?
There. And we'll also have another Superbox Bonanza 2023 coming up in just a second right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Carlos Correa is a twin.
Really? Is another one of them out there?
Yes. And today at the presser, he thanked Scott Boras.
I want to thank my agent, the best agent in the game, Scott Boras, and the Boras Corporation. It was a lot of challenges thrown at us throughout the whole process, but at the end of the day, he got me to a place where I'm happy, where I feel right at home, where I feel like I'm going to have a chance to win every single year, where we have a really good core of players, and I'm thankful for sticking with me throughout this whole process. I know it was probably the hardest job you ever had to do, but we talked every day, and I felt comfort every time I spoke with you. And I'm happy. I'm happy to be here in Minnesota. I'm happy to be a twin. We started something special last year, and there's some more work to be done. At the end of the day, we want to bring a championship back to the city, and that's what we're going to work for from now on.
He's happy to be a twin, but first he wanted to be a Giant, then he wanted to be a Met.
Right.
Now he's a twin. Anyway, Correa was asked what happened with the Mets.
Yeah, one thing I learned throughout the whole process was that doctors have a difference of opinions. I had a lot of doctors tell me that I was fine. I have some doctors that said it wasn't so fine. It was shocking to me because since I had the surgery, I never missed a game. I never got in treatment in my ankle. My ankle's never hurt. So when the news came, it was a little shocking, but I'm ready in my mind with the expertise of some doctors, named doctors like Dr. Eletrash, telling me that, the ankle is great. It's a great shape. Dr. Kemp here telling me that I'm in outstanding shape, even better than last year, he told me so. That mentally going to next season for the rest of my career, I'm going to treat it like I've always treated, just going to compete every single day, give my everything out there on the field, and help my organization win championships.
And I know people don't like when I mention things related to politics, but he reminds me, do you remember when Trump went to the doctor?
Mm-hmm.
And was like, nobody's healthier than me. He says, I have the perfect. That's what that reminded me of. I mean, obviously, evidence suggests there's something else that's different going on.
But he's being disingenuous in the sense that I don't think anybody's questioning like the immediate future. Yeah, right now, it's fine. But when you start talking about 13-year contracts, 12-year contracts, even six, there's questions on whether it's going to hold up. So I don't think, Michael, anybody's questioning whether he's going to be okay for 2023. Yeah, you're fine. Doctors say you're fine, but beyond that?
Laura Albanese does a great job for Newsday. She wrote that. Scott Boras, I love Scott. I find him extraordinarily bright and funny. And she said, Boras says some orthopedists believe there's an almost Darwinian concept where your body adapts so you can compete and perform.
Is that right?
Who believes that?
Scott Boras.
Oh, well, I'm glad he believes that.
Now, here's the stuff that I found out today.
Okay, this is the inside scoop.
The Mets felt he had 3 or 4 years at best before they thought that the ankle was going to go. Now, this is the severity of the ankle. If it goes, and this is what I was thinking too. All right, so let's say it goes and he's out a year and you fix it and he comes back. Maybe he's not as good, but if it goes, he's not going to play again. The surgery would be to correct it so that he'd have a normal life. They didn't think that he'd be able to play again. So the person who told me this, I said, well, why'd they go to 6 years? Because Cohen really wanted him. And it was the front office and the lawyers that talked him out of it. They felt for the fifth year, maybe. And they went to the sixth year because the owner wanted to go to the sixth year. But they didn't know if he would last 6 years. The person I spoke to said the ankle could go in spring training this year. And you know what? To be honest, he could play 12 more years and the ankle might not go. But the Mets, after looking at all of the information, felt that he had 3 or 4 more years and that's
okay.
It.
So, but Cohen wanted him.
Cohen really, so, really, that's why they even offered him 6 years.
But Cohen, so they go to the 6, so I'm right back to where I was yesterday.
I knew you were going
to
go.
But where else is there to go, Peter? So the owner wants him, so the only thing in question now is money. And you have an owner now, I can understand the baseball people saying, well, wait a minute, if we end up giving this guy money and in the fifth year he's out, then that's $7 million just laying there. That might stop us from getting what we need when he goes down. No, not with Cohen. You've already blown past the tax, so... If you have an owner who's like, listen, I'm going to replace Correa, I'm still going to go after Otani, I'm still going to do this, I'm still going to do that, then what's stopping you over what would end up being $7 million a year? If it ends up that he blows it after 5, you only lost $7 million or 14. I know that's a lot of money to you and me, but to Cohen, it's supposed to be ashtray money. And if he desperately wanted him to go to 6, then if you're the baseball people with the Mets – why are you talking him out of it if it's not going to stop you from improving your team down the road?
I don't have a good answer for you other than the fact that I heard that the lawyers were against it and Billy Epler was against it. Didn't even think they should try to sign him because 3 to 4 years is what they thought he'd last. So, and also, if the ankle is in such shape, according to people in the know, that one bad slide and he's done. I mean, he had a slide last year where he stayed on the ground and he said he felt the plate in the ankle vibrating and it was a weird feeling for him. And he doesn't slide even in double plays. He just stands up and allows himself to get tagged.
It's irreparable if it were to happen again.
That's what I heard. If this goes, it's gone.
I'm debating saying something because I feel like I'm going to get shouted down. You're going to call me stupid.
Well, we think you are anyway, so go.
I think Correa is a good player. I don't know that I think he's worth this hubbub, especially when you already have a version of him that you could argue is better already on the team.
Who?
Lindor. Does he bring that much more to the table to this team offensively? Does his batting 270 and giving you 25 home runs, is it that? Like, we really thought that is the absolute difference between that and a championship.
But you know what drives the decision makers in baseball. Last year with the Twins, he had a 5.4 WAR. The last year before that, with the Astros, he had a 7 WAR. Those are great numbers. Not everybody is Aaron Judge and does an 11 WAR. I mean, that's a once-in-a-generation sort of WAR. So if you get a shortstop or a third baseman that's giving you a 7 or a 5.4, I hear what you're saying because his numbers don't really jump out at you, but he's an outstanding defender.
Right, but they don't even need his defense particularly.
But here's, I did the Ranger game, so I was like talking to a lot of fans, you know, going back to the parking lot. What do you think of losing Correa? It stinks, but we really needed that bat in the playoffs. You had the greatest WAR ever in Judge. What happened to them in the playoffs? I mean, and there's no guarantee. You can have an all-star and a Hall of Fame bat at every position, get to the playoffs, and everybody goes cold and you lose a best-of-5 series or a best-of-7 series. Everybody wants guarantees. This team won 101 games last year and are better this year than they were last year, even without Correa.
Correct.
I can't promise you anything in the postseason. They could have signed Correa, traded for Otani, and still end up going to a best-of-5 series and get shut down.
And by the way,
the Yankees every year.
And by the way, they went cold in the playoffs last year.
Well, sure.
If they hadn't gone cold and the guys who normally hit for them hit, they wouldn't even be talking about needing Correa.
And it wasn't even so much cold. I mean, Scherzer was awful. I mean, the pitching was bad.
Didn't even give him a chance.
Right. So that's what I heard, that the Mets kind of thought 3 to 4 years is what the ankle had in it. And they stretched it to 6 because I think Cohen had a little – Cohen likes stars.
What I think he really likes.
So there's less sexiness, which is what the fans love. But you heard Passan; they don't have a hole at third. You know, whether it's Escobar, whether it's Beatty, they feel like they've got alternatives at third base.
And the plan now is to go with Escobar.
Right.
Because the initial plan before this became a possibility is you go with Escobar, and then Beatty goes back to the minors, and then he becomes your third baseman in 2024 unless they go out and get Machado.
And Escobar was great in the second half of the season after a really slow start.
And the best player they had in September.
And if it ends up being a bad sore spot for the team, guess who's a free agent possibly next year, Manny Machado, they can go after.
And you know what? They could trade for somebody, too, with the trade deadline. I think that's what the Mets have done. They've saved themselves $33 million. Not that they need to save it. And he's going to go hog wild at the trade deadline if they need additions.
And by the way, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. If you get the opportunity at Machado, he's a full level up from Correa, isn't he?
A little older, right? He's gonna be 31.
He'll be 31.
Machado's already 31.
Yeah, he'll be 31. I think in July.
Passan felt that he was going to be, you know, the he should have been the MVP last year. So he's great. But you know what? I think you're. I'm not going to say you're dumb.
But I'm underestimating Correa.
You're underselling him. He's special, and he's a star. I mean, you look at the numbers he has in the postseason. I think he has 18 home runs. Now, it's not 18, but it's an incredible amount of home runs in the games that he's played. And he's a big postseason guy. And that's what you need. You need big.
Well, and he has a ton of experience, obviously. That's all that he did in Houston was playing the postseason.
Right.
And I'm sure, honestly, Cohen thought it was fun how much Yankee fans would hate him. Him coming into the Mets would be fun. I get the upside.
He likes stars. He likes stars. And this is a star that he wanted. And I think that he and Boris also have a really good relationship.
Him and Boris Yeltsin, you're saying?
No, not Yeltsin. Oh.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.